The organism and the habits of the women are different, fine. But a Ben Sheba, one was born like Shmuel was born to Hannah, it kufeis hayomi. That means it kufeis. So in other words, one tkufa is 3 months, so tkufeis is 6 months. 6 times 30 is 180, and yomimi too. So Shmuel was born after 182 days, so it was a Bikayom. Shmuel was certainly a Ben Kayom. And if somebody is born, let's say, after 100, let's say, in other words, a Ben Shmeino, so that means after 210 days is not Ben Kayom. What's the tam? What's the seichel in there? How was it? How could it be explained bisman Chazal? Oh, now it's in Shtanatem. But how could it be explained? So that's not difficult. And I discussed it with a few doctors, and they said that what I said makes a lot of sense. Because if somebody is born after being carried 7 months, and other babies are born, usually babies are born after being carried 9 months. Why is it so? Why is it so? So it's b'derech hateva. I mean, it's not a less, it's b'derech hateva. Why is it so? The answer is because certain babies require an embryological development for 9 months. In order to be completely ripe, with all the volume and everything, they require an embryological development for 9 months. So then, if they are born before 9 months are over, so they're not viable. But if a baby is born after 7 months, so it means for some reason the condition of the woman and the condition of her womb and so on was of such nature that it required only an embryological development of 7 months. Why? Well, there's so many factors. So, but that's based upon the peculiar setup of the organism of the woman, you know. But maybe it has to do with the genes, I don't know what, that certain babies require an embryological development of 9 months, and certain babies require only an embryological development of 7 months. Now, so that's why Bisman Chazal, I'm not rejecting what the Chazanish says, because it has a basis in the Ramah. I mean, it's not something new by the Chazanish. It's only an extension of the Ramah. So, but Bisman Chazal, that a Ben Shiva was more viable than a Ben Shmeino, how can we understand it? Because a Ben Shiva, it means if somebody was born after 7 months, it means that somehow this fetus didn't require an embryological development of 9 months, but only an embryological development of 7 months. It has to do with the condition of the womb, I mean, and the whole condition of the womb, that in 7 months he can become fully developed. But the average womb is not in such a condition that the whole fetus can be developed fully with everything in 7 months. So Mele, if a Ben Shiva is born after 7 months, in other words, after 210 days, after 210 days, so that shows that he was a precocious fetus. You know, we have certain children who are called precocious, but the physically precocious, intellectually precocious, mentally precocious. What does that mean, precocious? Precocious means he's a child of two, but he's already developed like a child of five. You know, you have such individuals. You have such individuals. So there are fetuses, precocious fetuses. And if a fetus is born after 210 days, so I mean, as a matter of fact, why 210 days after 182 days, like Shmuel? Shmuel was born with Tkufes Hayomim. So Tkufes is 6 months, that's 180 days, and Yomim is 2 days. So he was born after 182 days. So Shmuel was such a precocious fetus that he became fully developed in 182 days. So the other babies, they're not in the Madriga of Shmuel, but in this sense, they're like Shmuel, they only require an embryological development of 182 days. That's all. So Mele, even if he's born, Loigom Rusarevitz Aponov, so we say, true, he has no hair, but he's such a precocious fetus, so he'll acquire hair in a very short time. Mashenkin, if he's born after, let's say, 210 days, or even Bisman Chazal said any letters from Katoim, even after he's born after 240 days, before 270 days expire. So that means that the child is not precocious in any way. He was a slow developing child. Every child is a slow developing child. But there are certain fetuses who are precocious. They develop very fast. So mainly, if he's already developed with the sari and the tzeponof and everything, so then he'll have no problems. Why should he have problems? He should have problems. He's already fully developed. True, he's not a precocious fetus, but he is a regular kind of a child. He's fully developed. So he's viable. He's not considered an evil. But if he's loigom usarev is upon off, so vis-a-vis ben shivo, even though it's loigom usarev is upon off, but he's fully developed and he's evolving, and all his organs is fully developed, and some mele we say, since the fetus was obviously a precocious fetus and he develops very fast, so even though there's something lacking, the sarvis above, such a big thing, sarvis above, in a short time he'll develop that too. So Mimele is considered viable. But if he's a Ben Shmeino, so he's not an especially fast-developing child. So in all probability, so it'll take him a long time until the Sarevitz Aponov will go, so it'll involve many complications, so he's not viable. That's the reason. Now, the reason is why they say that today, by far, according to the statistics, so the children of Ben Shmeino by far outnumbered the viable children of Ben Shmeino by far outnumber the viable children of Ben Shivo, because when they mention the statistics, they include all children of Ben Shivo, not only the Ben Shivo whose all Ivorim are complete, but they include all. So most, the overwhelming majority of the Ben Shivo who are not viable are born without Ivorim Shleimim, you see, with a certain defects in the lungs, with certain defects in the heart. So Mimela, that's why the number is greater. But if they were, I'm not so sure, if they were to consider just the number of viable children of Ben Shiva who are born with Ivorim Shleimim, but not Sarev Zipon of Gamro, I'm not so sure that the facts would indicate that they are less viable. The facts indicate they are less viable because when they talk about numbers of children of Ben Shiva who are not viable, who do not survive, they include all children, not just the children who are born just with the Sari and Tziponov not complete, but with the Vorm complete. They include all children, and most of them, so there is some defect in an organ. I know of cases, this one, he was born prematurely, and is a heart defect, he has a lung defect, he has a kidney defect. That means that the Vorm are not shleimim. These children, whose Vorm are not shleimim, so of course, even Ben Shiva, so they're not Ben Kayom. So, I mean, if I had been a doctor, I would check up on these things. I mentioned that if your doctor says, it makes a lot of sense what he said, because when doctors say they have statistics, so they don't have statistics in regard to a Ben Shiva who were born with all the Ivorim Shleimim, but the Sarev Tziponov is not developed yet. They speak of the whole spectrum of Ben Shiva, and probably 90% of the spectrum of Ben Shiva consists of Ben Shiva who are born with a certain organic defect. So that kind of a Ben Shiva whose Ivorim is not Shleimim, so then if me Ben Shiva is not a Ben Kayome, when the Gemara says the Ben Shiva is a Ben Kayome, even Loigomru Sarev is upon of, it means Loigomru Sarev is upon of, but the Ivorim are Gomru. But here they talk of statistics in respect to feet to children who are born, the overwhelming majority of which are born without the Ivorim being Shleimim. So that's not even Ben Shiva. Ben Shiva means somebody who requires an embryological development of only 7 months. If somebody is born after 7 months being carried, and he has a heart defect, he has a lung defect, he has a kidney defect, so he's not a Ben Shiva. A Ben Shiva, by definition, is someone who is born with all the Ivorim complete and not malfunctioning, but the Sarev is upon of an Adgam. So that's not such a big thing. So I'm doubting the whole statistics. Anyway. But I'm not rejecting what the Chaznish says. Yes?
One thing, during the Zman Razal, so many babies, I think, that weren't Gamro Ivarov may have been counted as if Gamro Ivarov, because now we know more about internal organs.
I wouldn't say that. Chazal knew. I mean, they didn't have the facilities. They didn't have the facilities, let's say, an incubator and these things. But on a theoretical level, they knew about everything. They didn't have the facilities. Of course, they didn't have the facilities of a respirator and even of oxygen. But they knew about all that. That's possible. So, Mele, that's why, of course, today it's Nishtana Ateva. Simply because, you see, because today we have all kinds of facilities. We have an incubator. Bisman Chazal knew of the possibility of an incubator. What is an incubator? An incubator means that the temperature is the same temperature as in the mother's womb. That's what an incubator means. So what happened, let's say, 100 years ago, when there was no incubator, 100 years ago? I know, my mother, Zechen Levocha, told me, the oldest son of Reb Chaim, so Rabbi Sol Gershon, so his wife gave birth to a twin, And that was, how many years ago was it? It was probably 85 years ago. Rabbi Yisrael Gershon was the oldest son of Reb Chaim. And he had, his wife gave birth about 85 years ago, gave birth to a twin, and they also Ben Shmeino. A twin, a combination of a twin and a Ben Shmeino. Now, Reb Chaim, so the doctor said, that, you know, the, even in those days, you had that chokhmah of quality life, but was the use of prolonging the life of the babies? He couldn't survive. And they didn't survive. They survived for about 10 days. They didn't survive for 30 days. And in those days, certainly in Brisk, they didn't have incubators. So how were they kept? They were kept under blankets, you know, pillows and blankets, you know. They tried to do the same thing, you see. Chazal didn't have the facilities of incubators, of respirator, of CAT scan and oxygen, but they knew about that all these things are possible. Yeah. Otherwise, you couldn't understand many, many halachas in the Gemara. And that attitude, I mean, that Chazal didn't know, is not even scientific.
I wasn't saying such a thing.
Yeah, all right. I mean,
what I was saying was that On a baby by baby level.
That's right. On a practical level, you're right.
On
a practical level, you're right. So that's why we say Nishtana Teva. So why is Nishtana Teva? It's not a shinu in the laws of nature. There is no shinu. There could be a shinu in the laws of nature too, I mean, the course of millennia, but not in the course of a few hundred years. But let's say today, of course, many, many premature babies survive when Bisman Chazal they didn't. Not Bisman Chazal they didn't, Bisman Hashem they didn't, even 85 years ago they didn't. Why? Because they didn't have the facilities of an incubator. Today we have the facilities of an incubator. Many, many people today, when they get problems breathing, they die. They die. Well, that's why, you see, when I see tshuva by Rabbonim, by Poskim today, contemporary Poskim, about pulling out the plug, whether that is like mikarev misosei, or it's like stopping chopping wood, you know, when near the house where there is a geisus. It doesn't make sense. People talk today about geisus. There is no such thing as geisus today. There is no, and that I discussed with many, many doctors, including Dr. David Kenigsberg. He also agreed with me, together with many other doctors, Dr. David Kenigsberg, Aaron Bockman, many, many doctors, I mean, my own doctors, Ira Weiss, they agreed with me. There is no such thing as geisus today, unless somebody been in an island, away from civilization, no oxygen tanks, no, needless to mention, respirators, nothing, no doctors, you know, who can do resuscitation and everything, artificial respiration. So then you can have the possibility of a geisus. But on a factual level, there is no geisus today. So all the talk, whether pulling out the plug, is like telling somebody who's chaytif eitzim in the courtyard of a geisus. So the Rambam says, we're not allowed to be mikarev misosei of the geisus. Let's say if somebody is geisus, we're not allowed to pull out the pillow, because that might expedite the death. So it's ritzicha mamesh l'isiyosach. Pure and simple. But if somebody in the courtyard is chaytif eitzim and that prolongs the yitzias nishome, we can tell him stop chopping. Because of that, I mean, I'm not going to mention names, but it's the most ridiculous thing You see tshuvas in Pardes, in this journal, that journal, even in Sforim, contemporary Paskim. So they discuss whether pulling out the plug is like telling the Chetif Eitzim to stop chopping wood or not. So some are machmir, some are meikel. It's nonsense. The whole Indian that we are allowed to stop chopping wood applies only to a geisus. You know what a geisus is? Geisus in English, the Rambam Pirush HaMishneh says, geisus is what is called in English gasping. I remember as a child of 65 years ago, so I remember a friend of the family who was sick with tuberculosis. In those days, tuberculosis was a terminal illness, more than any cancer today. Tuberculosis in those days. Today, tuberculosis is no sickness. But because of the antibiotics, so it's no sickness at all, I mean. But in those days, 65 years ago, I remember I was once in the house of a person, a friend of the family, who had Chachotke, that's the tuberculosis. And I witnessed it. It left such an impact upon my emotions, I can't forget it. And I was in the bedroom, I was a child of 5, and he was gasping. The last breath, gasping, that's called, the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishneh, and that's geisus. Geisus is one who is gasping, who is in the last breaths. So how do they apply it to someone who has cancer and sometimes even walks in the street and still rabbonim the right tshuvas? Is it like geisus? Is it like removing the plug? I mean, such nonsense. They don't know any medicine. They just hear. They don't understand it. They don't even inquire it. And they pass kishayles. So on that basis, you have poskim today, I'm sorry that I have to say it, who paskim in public, and the even Atile Bilongodl, Ramesh Feinstein, which is just an abuse of Ramesh Feinstein talking. And Ramesh Feinstein never said it, that if a person suffers from a terminal illness and he has pain, you don't have to give him medical aid. Just like that. Just like that. So, when they discuss geisus, what does it do with geisus? There is no such thing as geisus. Because today, I asked a number of doctors, do they have any record of geisus, of gasping? Says no. Only in one case, certain people who have cancer, and then the doctors decide to feed the patient morphine. When they keep on feeding him morphine, because today geisus means gasping. Geisus means that it's the last breaths. Of course, even though he's going to die in 2 minutes, but it's kechayel chodover. But it's the last breaths. That's geisus. But how do you apply to somebody who has kidney failure and through dialysis you can prolong his life for 4 years, and then the doctor decides, no, you don't have to give him dialysis? A doctor Kenigsberg told me there are many doctors, if an elderly person has kidney failure, they refuse to give him dialysis. He's an elderly person, let him die, die a peaceful death, just like that. I mean, this is, you are nodding at your head, you are shocked, but this is something becholyein that you see. You see it, sometimes the doctor applies it to an elderly person, and sometimes he applies it dafke in regard to a child. To a child, poor child, let him die a peaceful death. That's the best thing. I mean, they play God, you know. They don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they themselves play God, you see. That's what happens when somebody doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he himself plays God. So, Rabbonim discuss whether that's like Chativa Seitzim or it's like pulling out the pillar. So pulling, whether pulling out the plug is more analogous to pulling out the pillow or it's more analogous to Chativa Seitzim. That has to do with geisus. So now we understand, we can tell the person to stop chopping wood because it's marred in Yetzias Nishama. Can you say such a thing? Somebody who has suffered from eternal illness and he can, through medication and the respirator, he can live for 2 years. It's prolonging his Yetzias Neshama. What is it? Yetzias Neshama lives there for 2 years. It is called Yetzias Neshama because the less breaths and sins Asher Nishmas be. So we learn out that if a person is devoid of breathing, so then he's not a chai, he's not completely chai. So mele, the less breaths are considered Yetzias Neshama. But somebody who suffers from eternal illness, he can live for admittedly by doctors for weeks and months, and many times the doctors don't know what they're talking about. So that's a Yetzias Neshama Richter. There is no such thing as Geisus. So doctors told me today they don't have in the a record of Geisus, of gasping. There is no such thing as Geisus, because if somebody has difficulties breathing, you don't have to give him a respirator, you give him oxygen. So then he's not gasping. But if you feed morphine, to a certain person, so that the oxygen will not work. That's one of the side effects of morphine, you see.
So they poison the person.
What is that? You poison the person. That's what they do. They poison the person. So then the oxygen doesn't work. So then we do find gasping in the hospitals, only in connection with patients who are being fed for months morphine. But otherwise we don't find such a thing as gasping. So what's the shayches of gasping? That's why I become so irritated when I see Rabbon discuss geisus. Is it like chopping wood, or is it like pulling out a pill? So one is machmir, one is meikol. Nonsense. And I'll tell you, some of the Rabbonim, unfortunately, they hear from doctors, and the doctors are not conscientious and not scrupulous. So they mention the facts in a certain way to mislead the Rabbonim. That's what they do, to mislead the Rabbonim. And the Rabbonim, they're not cheshit. The doctors are pagans. Some mele, they discuss, there is no such thing as geisus. There is no such thing as geisus. So mele, I mean, I got off on a tangent, because I have a very heavy heart about doctors and Rabbonim and everybody. I mean, I don't say it publicly. I mean, I don't want to be quoted because it will not do any good. But yes.
What if the Rosh Hashanah's psak in a case of an accident where a person is mamash, if you'll touch the person, you'll kill him?
Yes, and if I touch him, so it's Yitzchak.
Can you give medical aid?
Well, so you have to ask a doctor.
Is this not
so?
No, the doctor says if I touch him, he'll die faster. I'll kill him.
So if the doctor says he's sure that if he touches him, he'll die, so of course, what's the purpose of giving him medical aid? But most of the time, the doctor will say, if I touch him, I give him medical aid. So 80% it will prolong his life. But there's a 20% chance that he'll die right away. Well, and if I don't give him medical aid, I don't touch him, so he'll be able to live for a few hours. So in such a case, of course, I mention a simple case. So of course he has to touch him because of the possibility. But where is it's boro kayein, that if you touch him, he dies, so what's the purpose of giving him medical aid?
So this is a gospel.
Call him geisus, call him whatever you want. But the fact is that if you touch him, he'll die, so it's Ritzir. But usually the shaila is, I get the whole shaila. The shaila is like this. There is a possibility that if you give him medical aid, so then he'll expedite his death. But there is a greater possibility that by giving him medical aid and by moving him this and that, so prolong his life. So in such case, we are matir.
How does one know if the doctor has the yicholus to decide whether
so
which
possibility
is bigger?
What should a Rav do? He's not a doctor himself. He has to rely on the doctor's opinion. And if the doctor doesn't know, so the right thing, if the doctors had been scrupulous, to consult another opinion. No, but the trouble is, the doctors, they don't want another opinion. They don't want. They are so arrogant. They don't want another opinion. Anyway, so I got off in a tangent. So, Mimele, what I wanted to point out, I'm not rejecting what Chazanish says. I'm not rejecting what Chazanish says. And of course, yeah, even Reb Chaim, so I mentioned, Reb Chaim had two grandchildren who are ben shmeinos, and they were, not only were they ben shmeinos, even the dvorim were not shalim. In other words, they had heart defects, breathing defects, and everything. And the question was whether you can be Mechal Shabbos. And the doctors advised, it was 85 years ago, what? You can't do anything. At most, you can prolong the life for a few days. Then they prolonged the life for about 10 days. Then they died before 30 days expired. It was a twin that Rabbi Yisrael Gershon had. So I heard from Reb Simcha Zelig, that Reb Chaim used to come in, the doctors were in the house. In those days, you didn't have a hospital, so the doctor was the whole day in the doctor. And Reb Chaim kept on reminding the doctor he should be Mechal Shabbos as many times as the biggest mitzvah. Now, it's not such a dover poshut. Whether we are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a ben shmeino is not such a dover poshut. I'm mentioning that because you'll probably hear from many poskim that today you are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a ben shmeino because of the Chazanish that is Nishtanatev. So it's a miracle that the Chazanish said it. That would mean that before the Chazanish said it, without recourse to Nishtana Teva, then we're not allowed to Mechal Shabbos. Reb Chaim did not know of the Chazanish, and he did not say the Chazanish, because true, the Chazanish is an extension of what the Ramo says, but the Ramo only applies it Nishtana Teva Ligabi Mikotoyim versus Shlemi. He doesn't say it. The Chazanish extended it, the same concept, the same lomdes. Ligabe ben shmeino and ben shimo, but Reb Chaim did not operate to this, and still Reb Chaim insisted that everybody, that the father, the mother, and himself should be Mechal Shabbos even 1,000 times to prolong the life of the twin children who are ben shmeino, and who are not only Gomru Sarovitz or Painov, it wasn't even Gomru Ivorov, because they had Gomru Ivorov means that there is no organic defect in the Ivorin, nor a functioning defect. But if one doesn't breathe, so that's not Gomru Ivorov. So he was certainly an Eif, there's no doubt, and still Reb Chaim Paskin that Yom HaShabbos. Let's see about this. It's negiya to our sugi. First, there is a Gemara in Shabbos. Somebody told me, somebody, one of the Poskim today, everybody's a Pesik. So Poskim, on the basis of the Chaznish, you have to be Mechiyu. You can be Mechal Shabbos, you can be Mechal Shabbos for a benchmein. Because it's not a fact, that's true. But without the Chaznish, Reb Chaim Paskent, Reb Chaim did not know of the Chaznish. And he did not say the Chaznish himself. But it's still a Paskent. But we'll see. There's a Machlekes Rishayim on that.
This is to extend medical attention.
Of course she cannot be mad. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be Matir Mila Bishabes for a Ben Shmein on the basis of the Chaznish of Mishnateva. It's not so poshut. But to be Matir Melocha Bishabes, no, it's not. We need something Mifuresh. What the Chaznish says makes a lot of sense, but to be Matir Mila Bishabes, I wouldn't be Matir. The Ben Shmein, I wouldn't be Matir.
Some rabbonim probably would. Should there be Mila at all in such a case?
What do you mean Mila at all?
Sunday.
Yeah. That then we'll have to ask a doctor, you see. So, but here I wouldn't be Matia, not because of medical reasons, because of Shaila Naloche. Because we cannot accept the Chaznish as a Vadai on Shumzik. Because after all, the Ramo only says Nishtana Ateva in regard to Mekutoyim versus Shleimim. He doesn't say it in regard to Ben Shmeino and Ben Shimo. And true that there is a definite discrepancy between the facts, the medical data, and what the Gemara says, but I think that the reason as to why there appears to be variance is because when doctors talk about the number of cases of non-viable children in Ben Shiva outnumbering the number of cases of non-viable children in Ben Shmeino is because they include Ben Shivas whose Ivorim and Ashleimi. Probably 90% of those cases, so the Ivorim and Ashleimi, not just Ligom Rusarevitz upon them. That's the mistake. But anyway, so I don't know if we checked only those whose ben shivo whose ivorim are shleimim, but loigomus harves beinov vis-a-vis the number of cases of ben shmeino whose ivorim are shleimim and loigomus harves beinov. I don't know what the statistics would be. I don't know. Tana Rabbanan. The last line. Olosei vaday deiches haShabbos, v'loisofik deiches haShabbos. Loisofik deiches haShabbos. Olosei vaday deiches haShabbos, v'loyandrigenes deiches haShabbos. All right. So what's the pshat? Oh, so the Gemara says after the two dots. Omamar v'loisofik deiches haShabbos. Lasuye mai. Lasuye hoditon rabbonon ben shivo michal nolo v'shabbos uben ches ein michal nolo v'shabbos. So in other words, ben ches. So when the Braise says olosi vaday deiches haShabbos v'loy sofik deiches haShabbos, so it means ligabi mile. Mile is deiches haShabbos. So the mile of ben shivo is deiches haShabbos. But in Mile of Ben Shmeino is not Eich HaShabbos. That's what the Gemara says. So, Asui Yehudis on Rabbanon, Ben Shiva Mechalonos HaShabbos, U Ben Chesi Mechalonos HaShabbos. Sofik Ben Zayin, Sofik Ben Ches, Ein Mechalonos HaShabbos. Ben Shmeino Arei Ukeven, Vi Oso Litaltalei, Avalim Eisheicho Meikosim Tnei HaSakone. So what does it mean, Sakone? Sakone means both. The imeshechem nikosei the sakone of the mother, because she has to get rid of the milk, otherwise it will be detrimental to her health, and sakone also of the child. So we see from that All the Rishayim say, Avalimi Sheichom Nikosei Mipnei Asakone. So, let's see the Yivomis of Pei. So Rashi says, Yivom is Afpei Omid Beis, the first line. Mipnei Asakone Sakone Shneem Haben Voein Shele Yarbe Cholov Adadin Vitoonus Vitomus. So is the Sakone, so she has to nurse the baby, even though he's Kieven, he's not Chai, he's Emeas, but still she has to nurse him because of the Sakone of the mother and the Vlad. The question is, if the Vlad is mess, so why are we worried about his Hakone? So it appears from this Rashi that even though Hareyuki mess, but it doesn't mean mess much. Hareyuki mess. In other words, he has a Shem Mukze. You cannot be mitaltal him just like that. He's a Mukze, but because he's not viable. But while he lives, he lives. He's not mess. You cannot say he's a mess. He's a mess. Half of criteria is a mess. His heart beats, he has cardiac activity, he breathes everything. But according to the medical data, so there is no brain activity. They know, maybe they don't have such a good encephalograph machine that can detect mild waves, faint waves. So that they don't know, because how is it possible to say doctors don't know? This is what Rabbi Bleich says. How do they know that he's brain dead? Why? Because he doesn't show any waves on the encephalograph machine. So maybe 5 years later they'll invent encephalograph machines that will be able to pick up faint waves that the present encephalograph machine cannot pick up. How do they know? And then, assuming that he doesn't show waves, so that makes him dead. The whole idea behind the Harvard criteria is grounded in paganism. Why do they say that? Why do they adopt the Harvard criteria? In order to have a possibility of making transplants. Because without the Harvard criteria, it will be impossible to make a heart transplant. Because a heart transplant is only effective as long as the donors has cardiac activity. The moment the cardiac activity stops, his heart cannot be used for a transplant. So as a matter of convenience, they decided upon a Harvard criteria, and in order to be able to prolong the life of certain heart ailing people. So that's an approach, Alpi Torah, or is the approach Alpi morality, approach that is in consonance with Menschlichkeit, because of convenience, so a matter murder, and still, even Rabbonim go along with the Harvard criteria. I don't want to mention names, because if I'll mention names, so I'll be promoting conservative Judaism and reform Judaism. Because unfortunately, Rabbonim, they go along with it. Why? Why do they go along with it? Because certain religious doctors say he's dead. So they accept everything. Shema Shabbos doctor says, Shema Shabbos doctor could be as much of a pagan as a non-Jewish doctor. And sometimes more. In Chicago, there is one doctor, an Indian, and he is the only doctor who fights for prolonging the life against pulling out the plug. When Jewish doctors, prominent members of the Jewish community, who are respected by everybody, they fight for pulling out the plug. So the whole Harvard, the idea of Harvard criteria is not based upon any scientific data. No doctor will say that he really believes that if one is brain dead, that he's dead. His heart beats, he breathes, everything. The kidney works, everything. But he's brain dead. So they declare him is dead. So what? Now they declare somebody whose brain doesn't show waves and is a fellow earth machine, is dead, and then years later they might decide somebody who is retarded, who has Alzheimer's, you know, he doesn't, it's more than retarded, he's also dead. How, what is the distance between declaring someone whose brain doesn't show waves and is a fellow earth machine is dead, and declaring someone who has Alzheimer's? Who has Alzheimer's, who doesn't recognize his wife, he doesn't recognize his children, doesn't recognize anything, is dead. There is no big distance. But of course, it has to be gradual. Once the Harvard criteria is taken for granted, so the next step will be to declare every Alzheimer person is dead. So, and then the Sam Rabbonim will go along with the Harvard criteria. Nonsense. So here Rashi says, Ben Shmeino is a mess. Still, Ima Sheikh Olof Mthea Sakona. Sakona Shnei. Habein Voim. Oh, I told him, we understand. Habein, he's dead. Why do we have to be concerned about his Sakona? So the answer is, he's dead. He's kimeis, he's mukze, but he's not completely dead. He's chayols. So now let's see the Gemara. So there is one. So here the Gemara says, Oma ma'ar v'lisofik d'ichas ha-shabbos, la'asuye mai la'asuye hodi tono rabono, ben shiva mechalons ha-shabbos, u ben chesi mechalons ha-shabbos. Sofik ben Zayin, Sofik ben Chesim, Mechalons HaShabbos. Ben Shmeina Arayu Kehebem Vosol Italtalei. Avalim Eishaycha Emunekose Im Tnei HaSakon. Tnei HaSakon. So, the Gemara says, Im Mechalons HaShabbos. So, the Pashtes of the Gemara, and it's Muchach, that the Gemara does not have reference to Pekach Nefesh. Im Mechalons HaShabbos Likabi Mila, but Likabi is Pekach Nefesh is Deich HaShabbos. As a matter of fact, it appears from this Gemara, but then there is another Gemara, Daf Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Tanya, at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Tanya Reb Shimon Gamliel Imer. Kol sheshor lamedyein ba'odam einin eifel, shenemar ubduyof mbanchid eshtivde, shmin eshom mbheim o einin eifel, shenemar miyashmini v'holo yirot zelkom, holy shor, sveik ave. So the question is, how are we mal? Shim Gamliel says that every baby, so Tesis says from this Gemara's mashma, stam baby, before he survived for 30 days, is a Sophic Neif, because we don't know, maybe he's a Ben Shmein. How do you know? Unless we know that, let's say, the husband went to Limdina Sayam, so we know he's a Ben Tishu. But like this, a baby is born, maybe he's a Ben Shmein. So that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that Kol Sheshor Lamedyein Be'odom Ein Neif, but until Shor Lamedyein, he's a Sophic Neif. So how... Im chayu shaper komol, vim lav mechater bibosar. So in other words, we are malim and Shabbos. So monefshach. If he is not a ben shmeino, so milis dech Shabbos. If he be ben shmeino, so he's not chay. So one who makes a chapure in a chay, so is chay v'chatos. But if somebody makes chapur in a mess, is not chay v'chatos. Even though it produces blood, you're allowed to cut a piece of meat. It doesn't involve in loch and Shabbos. So that's the reason as to why we can be mal a stam child, even though there is a possibility, maybe it's a bishmir. So then the Gemara asks, "Well, how did Tanya suffer in Zion, suffer in Meches, in Chalons and Shabbos? Am I nimele mimonefshech im chayu shapekomol vimav? If he's a ben shmeino, so he's not chay mechater bebosel. Omar Mar Brit Rabine Ano, the Rabin Chume Baschaye, Tergemine, Mimilochaname Malin, Inochanam. He suffered me Zain, suffered me Ches, we can be mal. Because what kind of an Nisa is there? If he's a Ben Shmeino, so he's not a Chai. So there is no Meloche in making the Mil. It's like cutting a piece of meat on Shabbos. But this Braise represents the view of Rav Lezer. Rav Lezer's shita is that Machshir Mila she Efshal Asis Merav Shabbos is also the Echas Shabbos. According to Rav Lezer, a male is allowed, of course we don't pass like Rav Lezer, a male is allowed to, let's say, to carry the Izemel on Shabbos derech Rishus Rabim in order to use them on the Tinik. Some male, so this price represents the view of Rav Lezer, and he says, but if somebody is Sofik Ben Shmeino, Sofik Ben Tisho, we are not allowed to carry the Izemel for him, because maybe he's a Ben Shmeino, it's not a Shabbos. But as far as the Mila itself is concerned, so even a Ben Shmeino, there is no shaila in being mal, because Monefshach, if he's a Ben Shmeino, he's not a Chai. But so we see from this Gemara that when the Braise says Sofik ben Zayin, Sofik ben Ches, in Chalons HaShabbos, it doesn't have reference to Pikuach Nefesh. It is reference to Mila. However, the Rosh and the Tur, they say that a Sofik ben, that a Ben Ches, when it says in Chalons HaShabbos, it doesn't only mean not Mechalos HaShabbos for his Mila. We are not his Mechalos HaShabbos for his Pikuach Nefesh either. In other words, that the Pikuach Nefesh of Ben Shmeino is not the Yechus Shabbos. It's not the Shabbos. Some mele. So one of the paskin and consider it as a bikuler, evolutionary psak, because of the chaznish, you can be machalas Shabbos today. That means today you can, but bisman chazal you couldn't, because you cannot have. I certainly agree with the psak that you can be machalas Shabbos, but I just want to point out that Reb Chaim insisted to be Mechalos HaShabbos 85 years ago, and Reb Chaim did not operate with the Nishtana Teva, because the Ramo doesn't mention it. The Ramo mentions it only in connection with Mkotoyim and Shleim. So, but let's see the two. So, the Kashi is, how does the Rosh say that Rosh the two? Is it, do I have the right time? 1 o'clock?
5 after 1.
5 after 1, okay. So it's only 5 minutes long. I'm discussing all these halachas in detail because there is so much confusion. So much confusion. Sometimes one can pass today that the Ben Shmeino is dead. Let's say if it's a case where the doctors will say it's not viable, also then it's not shayach to apply the chaznish. Chaznish psak is only shayach in the case where doctors say it's viable. But suppose you find a doctor who says it's not viable. Why? You can say, you can find that every day. So then the chaznish psak doesn't apply. No, it has nothing to do with the chaznish psak. Without recourse to the chaznish psak, Limaise, we can be Mechalos HaShabbos. I heard already of a case. Somebody was a Ben Shmeino and he had a heart defect also. So one said, Chaznish Psak doesn't apply. The Chaznish Psak applies only to a child who has no organic defect. That's why I'm discussing it. It's really not negay to the sugye. Havlad in Simen Shin Lamet. Havlad lachar alei deisenli kol tzoche. Machitzneisei umilchneisei vitim nashalye. Kidei sheyecham havlad vikishnatibo pkoch nefesh. Vehanemile binelad litisho. Oy lishivo. Aval nilad liches. Oy a philosophic nilad lizayin oy liches. Eimichal nolov. Elohim kin gomru sare vitzoponov. So, it's a big chiddush. It's not right. It's pukach nefesh. It's not deich Shabbos. Iben ches. And not only that, not only vada iben ches is not deich Shabbos according to the sheet of the two. That, but even sofik ben zayin, sofik yom ches. So, if it's not gomru sarev it's upon of, is not mechal of the Shabbos. So the Rosh says that. And what does the Rosh mention? He mentions the Gemara, Sofik ben Zayin, Sofik Melchez, in Chalon Loves HaShabbos. But that Gemara has reference to Mile. So the Mishneh Brura mentions certain poskim, they ask the Kashe, and they say the Rosh holds that even though that Gemara of Sofik ben Zayin, Sofik Melchez, Melchez HaShabbos certainly has reference to Mile, but it includes even Pekach Nefesh. Eim Echalon Zah Shabbos. Bein Ligabi Milosei and Bein Ligabi Bis Pekach Nefesh. But there is no Mokher in the Gemara for that. But there's the Sheet of the Rosh. And the two Paskins like that. Now, not only the two Paskins like that, the Mechaber also Paskins like that. In Simen Shin Lamet, Sib Zayin, Havlat shenilad eisinli kol tzorchav umachitzneisei umilchineisei vitein nashalye kidei sheyecham havlat vichitchim esatabo vahane mile benilad litese lizayin aval nilad liches oi sofi ben zayin oi ben ches eimichal nolov. That's pikach nefesh, not mile. Elim ki nigmeru sare vitzaponav. So the Mogavrom says, the Mogavrom says, Hiksho Hoila Shabbos Do Bisefer Oito Ise Da Philosophic Shalhoyle Cheskes Chaim Elam Ki Yeshif Al Amishbo Mechalon Lov Zah Shabbos. That if a woman is in labor, and then we have to mechalas haShabbos, so we are mechalas haShabbos, even though, and according to many Rishenim, the Halachas Delis, it's not just for the sakonas nefoshes of the mother, but also for the sakonas nefoshes of the fetus. So that fetus didn't even emerge lavareilam. We still mechalas haShabbos, lachaskam v'chamo. Someone who is a ben shmeino or sofik men zayin, sofik men ches, so he certainly should be allowed. He allowed to mechal Shabbos for ishosh yoshvah amishbo, not only because of the mother, but also because of the blood. That's how it's mashm the gemara nirachon. So how is it that the mechaber the paskins like the two that we're not allowed to mechal Shabbos for a ben ches? Or even a sofik ben zayin sofik meches. It's very strange. V'im kein lama pasakar. Ve'ein zo kusho. Dili'il ma'ire shekol lechadoshuf. There, when it says that we ishosh yoshvah l'amishbo, so we are allowed to mechal Shabbos even for the pekuach nefesh of the vlad, not only for the mother. So his reference where he knows he's a ben tisho. So then we are Machal Shabbos. But here he is a Ben Ches or a Sofik Ben Ches. We are not Machal Shabbos. So the Rambam Avraham says, diese Talje beplugte, sie kostet ein Rosch und ein Rand, per Beis die Jume, bei Ubro, sie ihr Richo, ilo jochlo misakre vlodo, afal gab, die Sofik mit Keimehu, afal gab die Sofik mit Keimehu, bei Sofik Keimehu, Sofik Neifu, Schafe Dome, und mewe Reihe Mahidi, ich habe es an Mischbo, diese bis sie verkamme der Erich und als Weg mich als der Schabbos. Wa Ramban kosav die Michalim und Schum Nifolim. Wa hieb die Yeshevas ala Mishbo Taime Achrinehu, the Havik Yolutz. In other words, there we have a machleke between Alachas Deleis and Ramban. The Alachas Deleis Shitti is that the reason is why und die Gemorre, die in Erechen says, Ho Yishe Shiyoshua ala Mishbo, we are allowed to be Michal Shabbos for the blood, not just for the mother, even when the mother is not in Sakone, is because the Pikuach Nefesh of a new bear that is not a Yolodet yet is also Deiche Shabbos. The Ramban says no, Pikuach Nefesh of a new bear is not Deiche Shabbos, only Pikuach Nefesh of Yolod, but Pikuach Nefesh of a new bear is not Deiche Shabbos. But there the Gemara in Erechim talks of a case Hoisha Sheyoshva La Mishbo Umeisa, you know, the woman, the mother died in birth, in the course of labor she died. So then the blood is considered like a yolot because it's considered as long as the mother lives, so it's part of the organism of the mother. So it's not considered as a nefesh by himself. But if the mother dies, so it's like a child that is locked behind the door. So Delasov, so Mele is considered like a yolot. In other words, there is a machlekes between the Alochas Delis and the Ramban, where the Pikuach Nefesh of the Nuber is Deiche Shabbos or is not Deiche Shabbos. According to Alochas Delis, is Deiche Shabbos. According to the Ramban, it's not Deiche Shabbos, Dafke Yolot. And then the Ramban says something, a big chiddush. He says, Hishiti is the Pikuach Nefesh of Nuber is not Deiche Shabbos altogether. But he says, even a Nuber, Iber who is already, let's say, in the ninth month, so Skol Chodoshov, until he is Yolut, so his Pikuach Nefesh is not Deiche Shabbos. But the Bahak Shiti is that it is Deiche Shabbos. So the Ramban says that according to the Bahag, Pikuach Nefesh of a Nuber is Deiche Shabbos, not only a Nuber who is 40 days old, because then the mother is Yeshevas, is Tneilede, she has to count 14 days, maybe it's a Nikeve. So in other words, 40 days fetus is considered as a vlad. But less than 40 days, if a woman has a miscarriage when the fetus is less than 40 days, then it's not a vlad, it's like ruach hipilo, if it's less than 40 days. So the Ramban says, according to Halachas Deilis, Pikuach Nefesh of a Nuber is Deiche Shabbos, not only a Nuber who is more than 40 days. The if is a Nuber who is more than 40 days, then is Deiche Shabbos because of the Zeres HaKosu V'chai Bahem V'lish Yomuz Bahem. Because 40 days is already a Nefesh, he's not a Nefesh Gomo, there is no Chiyuv Mises Bezen, but there is a Chiyuv Mises B'Shamayim if you make an abortion upon a fetus who is already 40 days old. Shefer Dam Odom Bodom Domi Yishofich. So Dam Odom Bodom Domi Yishofich means a Nuber. That means he's 40 days old. If he's less than 40 days old, then he's not Chayim Yishamayim. But as far as Pikuach Nefesh is concerned, so according to the Bahak Shite, the Ramban says, even the Pikuach Nefesh of a Nuba who is less than 40 days is also the Cheshabes. Not because of a Chaybem. Chaybem is only Shayach when he's Nefesh. But less than 40 days is not a Nefesh. But because of the other Aloche, Chaleil of Shabbos Echot Kiddish Yishma Shabbos Yisarbe. So in other words, so Rab Chaim explained it, because Mitzad V'chaybem, it only implies that if he's already a Nefesh, you're allowed to Mechal Shabbos to save his life, to prolong his life. But before his 40 days, he's not a Seder Nefesh. But if you are Mechal Shabbos, then he will develop and he will be a Nefesh. So, because of Chalal of Shabbos, Achat Yishma Shabbos Sarbe, we can Mechal Shabbos even on somebody who is potentially a Nefesh. If on the basis of the Chaybohem, so only someone who is actually Nefesh. But from the point of view of Chalal of Shabbos, Achat Yishma Shabbos Sarbe, he doesn't have to be a Nefesh now, as long as he is a potential Nefesh. And Fuchil Shabbos, he will be born. So he also Mechal Shabbos. Anyway, it's a machlekes.
So that's how we pass them by the...
What?
That's how we pass them by the Torah.
Of course, we pass them.
So what do we do with all the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch?
What?
They didn't know from Bechayim, the Chalof.
No, the Shulchan Aruch, but 1 second. So this is what the Mogen Avraham says. The Mogen Avraham says that this din of the Rosh, because the Rosh agrees with the Shite of the Ramban, that Pukach Nefesh of a Nuber, even more than 40 days, is not Deich HaShabbos. In other words, only Nefesh Gomur is Deich HaShabbos. But a Nuber who is not a Nefesh Gomur, even though he's a Nefesh, but he's not a Nefesh Gomur, so it's not Deich HaShabbos. It's not Deich HaShabbos. So that's why he says, Ibn Shmeino, even a Sofik Ben Zayin Beches, is not Deich HaShabbos either. Mashinkin according to Allah Hazdeles, who says that even a Ben Shmeino, I mean that even the Pekach Nefesh of a Nuber is Deich HaShabbos, and even the Ramban says according to Allah Hazdeles, even a Nuber who is less than 40 days, who is Gimayu Baalme, but he is a potential Nefesh. So he is also Deich HaShabbos because of Chal of Shabbos Mezabe, so then we are Mechal Shabbos for Ibn Chesels. Now, the reason as to why. What is that? The Chalal of Shabbos Achat, if he is less than 40 days.
And if he's more than 40 days?
It'll be more 40 days because of the Chaybohem. The Ramban shit is that the Chaybohem only implies that the Pekach Nefesh of a Nefesh Gomor is the Deich HaShabbos. But the Nefesh Sheini Gomor, like a Nuber, even if he's already in the ninth month before is Yosef Aver Eilom, so it's not Deich HaShabbos. Before the mother is Yosef Amishbo, it's not Deich HaShabbos. Except when the mother died, so then he's considered already like Yolt. But the Aloch HaSdeleshit is that needless to mention, the Pekach Nefesh of a Nuber is more than 40 days, certainly is Mechal Shabbos. We are Mechal Shabbos because of a Chaybe, like any other person. But even a Nuber who is less than 40 days, so then we are allowed to Mechal Shabbos, not because of a Chaybohem, because the Chaybohem only implies if somebody is already a Nefesh, not if he is a potential Nefesh, but because of Chal of Shabbos Echot, Kishme Shabbos Esab. So Mele, that means that the Mechaber paskins like the Ramban. But La Aloche, whenever it's a Shaile, that's a klal in Halacha. Whenever it's a shailim pikach nefesh, so if there is any shittes or sheni that is deiche, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskens to the contrary, sofik nefoshes lehokel. So Rabbi Yeruchem in Simen in Hilchas Yom Kippur, the Bes Yosef mentions. That whenever it's a shailim pekach nefesh, and according to Rav Poskim, we are not allowed to eat an yom kippur, and according to some poskim, mute poskim, we are allowed to eat an yom kippur. So we don't rely on Rav Poskim because we can force the hokel, and in hilchim pekach nefesh acharov, so mele we don't rely on Rav Poskim, and even if there is a mute poskim that is contrary to the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, we are still Mechal Shabbos. That's why Reb Chaim paskened in respect to the Ben Shmeino. That was without recourse to the Chazon Ish Seder. Right? Reb Chaim did not operate, did not know of the Chazon Ish of Mishnah Teva. But because it's true, according to the Psak of the Mechaber, You cannot be Mechal Shabbos for Ben Shmina. The Pshat in Ben Shmina are like heaven. Before it was Nishtana Teva. All right, now, I'm not rejecting Chas V'Sholem, the Chazanish Psak. I wouldn't rely on it to be Matya Mile B'Shabbos. I wouldn't rely. It's not the Vaday Gomor. It's not the Vaday Gomor. It's not mentioned in the Rishenim. It's a Chiddush. It makes a lot of sense. And it has a basis in the Ramo, in Simen Kuf Nun Vov, in Eben Ezer, except that Ramo applies it Ligabei Mekutoyim versus Shleimim, and it's an extension of that Ramo. But to be 100% sure, one cannot be. Because even though the Metzias appears to be contrary, but I have great zveikes about the Metzias, because I think their statistics is based upon the fact that when they talk of the number of viable children born among Neishmeino, that outnumber the number of children that are viable in Ben Shiva, because they include all kinds of Ben Shiva. All kinds of Ben Shiva. Not just Ben Shiva whose Ivorim are Shleimim, but the Sar and the Suponov are not fully developed. But they include, I suppose, that 90% of those Ben Shiva who are not fully developed are not fully developed in the sense that the Ivorim are not fully developed. Function wise or organic wise, certainly function wise. So that's why they're not viable. But if they had restricted themselves to the cases of Ben Shiva, whose Ivorim Ashleimim, but just this Tzipunayim and the Sarim are not fully developed, I don't know whether it would be in variance with what Chazal said. I don't know. It has to be checked. So I'm not 100% sure of the Chaznish Psak, but as far as Pikuach Nefesh is concerned, you don't have to resort to the Chaznish Psak. It's true that according to the Psak of the Mechaber, so Ibn Pikuach Nefesh of Ben Ches is not the Chashabes. Why? Because Ibn Ches is considered, for example, let's say, many Rishenim say that a Ben Ches, even if Sloigom Rusarev is upon off, so if he survived 30 days, so is a Ben Kayom. Is a Kesraman. So there's a Machlekes Rishenim. Some Rishenim say that it has to be both, survive for 30 days, and Gomusarev is upon him. But suppose a Ben Shmeino survived for 30 days and Loi Gomusarev is upon him at birth, so then he's not a Ben Kayom. It's a Machlekes Rishenim. So Mimele, the Magen Avraham says, here, so Vinira Li Dizet Talia Beplukte Shekosve Orash Veran. Whether we are Mechal Shabbos because of the mother, or we are Mechal Shabbos Mizdeich Ekolatir Kule because of the Uber also. So that's a Machleik is the Rosh in the Ran. So the Rosh it is only because of the Nefesh of the mother, but because Nefesh of the Uber is not the Ekolatir Kule, because the Rosh agrees with the Ramban. So Mele the Mechaber says there's the Shittus Rosh, that Ibn Ches is considered like an Uber. The aloha of Neifu means, like this we say, if he's Yosel Aver Elam, he's not an Uber anymore. He doesn't have the status of a fetus. One has the status of a fetus, he's not a Nefesh Gomor, only if he is Lo Yosel Aver Elam. But if he's Yosel Aver Elam, then he's Yolut. Then he's a full person, he's a Yolut. He's not a Uber anymore. So that's the aloch of Eiffel. If he's an Eiffel, so then even after he's Yosel Aver Elam, he still has the same status the same status as before he emerged l'Avraham. But if b'kach nefesh, some mele the rosh shite, that b'kach nefesh of Ibn Tes is not dech Shabbos, because the rosh l'shitose, the rosh holds that ubro sheyericho, so he give her all kinds of dvorim asurim. So there is a machlekes. Why is she allowed to eat all dvorim asurim? Some rishonim say because of her own b'kach nefesh. But in some rishonim say no, because of the b'kach nefesh of the uber. Even if her own life wouldn't be in Sakone. So, because of Nefesh Uber, the Rosh Shiti is Ubro Sheyericho, so he give her Dvorim Asurim because of her own Pikach Nefesh. But because of Pikach Nefesh of the Uber, we are not, so she's not allowed to eat the Dvoroso. But the Halachas de Leshiti is Pikach Nefesh of the Uber without recourse to Pikach Nefesh of the mother. So, Mele, the Moravrom says that when Mechaber paskens like the Rosh, because the Mechaber paskens like the Rosh in regard to the question whether Pekach Nefesh of a Nuber is Deiche, Pekach Nefesh of a Nuber is Deiche Shabbos. But Mashenkin, according to Rishenim, the Halach is Deiles. And I think that most Rishenim agree with the Halach is Deiles. Not with the Roshim, though the Mechaber paskens. But most Rishenim agree with the Halach is Deiles. Pekach Nefesh of a Nuber is also Deiche Shabbos. So, and the Ramban says that according to Halach is Deiles, even a Nuber, less than 40 days. So, and so Yolud, who was born in the eighth month, not in the ninth month, is worse than a Nuber who is not just Avraham. The only aloch of Nefli is that in spite of the fact that he emerged Avraham, he still retains the status of a Nuber because he is not viable. But according to the Rishenim, the Pekach Nefesh of Nuber is also Deiche Shabbos before he is just Avraham. So how can a Ben Shmeino, who was already Yotzal Avraham, be considered less than a Nuber who is not Yotzal Avraham? It wouldn't make sense. So why does Shulchan Aruch say, because the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh, that Pekach Nefesh of a Nuber, this is what the Morgan Avraham says. So that's why Reb Chaim passed without...
What is the reason why for a Nuber they were matter?
What? Because if he's a Nuber who is already 40 days old, so then he's a Nefesh. So then he comes within the Chayben. But if he's less than 40 days, he doesn't come within the Chayben. Chayben only has
reference.
When I get, you get childless of a Ben Shmeino, who was born without Gmira Sarevitz upon off, and he was born on Shabbos, where you can have the priest on Shabbos. I can't rely on the psak of the Chaznish, because it's not relevant, because we paskin. Whenever there is
when Rashi over here in Shabbos doesn't mention Chaliva for the Rashi specifically doesn't mention Chaliva.
But in Yevomes he mentions.
Okay. That's because we see that from that Rashi we see
that Ben Shmeino Ariuk Evan doesn't mean he's mes mamish. It means he's a Nuber. A Nuber is mukse. Let's say, as a matter of fact, if a doctor would ask Kishayle, his mother, he wants to examine his mother, can he push the Uber inside the mother's womb on Shabbos? So if there is no special tzerech, I would say no, it's mukze. A Nuber is mukze. So Ben Shmeino Hareyu Kevin means that the Ben Shmeino who legom gusarev is upon off has the same status as a Nuber. A Nuber is mukze, and the Ben Shmeino Yolut is also a Nuber. So it's mukze, but it doesn't mean it's not a chai. So too, the Gemara says we can be male ben shmeino, isofik meshmeino monefshach. If he's a ben zayin, so milis derech Shabbos. If he's ben shmeino, so machater bosabaum, like psaramis. So it doesn't mean a ben shmeino has v'shalom is a mess. If he's a mess, so why? Because of Sakon of Uber, he's not a chai in the sense of a nefesh gamma.
So what is the
he's like an Uber.
What are those who showing like the Ramban that holds you cannot be Mechal Shabbos for an Uber? What's the reasoning?
Because only Reb Chaim discusses it in the Sefer. Because only Pgach Nefesh of a nefesh gamma.
According to those who shine like them band, and therefore in Esh Ben Shmoyne was like an Uber, you cannot be Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah,
that's the way the Mechal
Shabbos. Bizman Chazal, but I mean, Chas Visholem, I mean.
The Shulchan Aruch is talking the guy in the
Simen. Gabi Pekach Nefesh. In Simen Shin Lamed Siv Zayin.
And he's referring to
the Pekach Nefesh, not the Mille.
He passes
like the Ramban, like the Rosh. That's what the Magen Avraham says, like the Rosh and the Ramban.
Without Reb Chaim, people were passing in Europe that they
No, people were not passing. You think Reb Chaim was the only Gadol? All right, Reb Chaim is Mefusim as a Mekel Pekach Nefesh. But every Rav and every Shtetl everybody knows it's a
Bishop. What was the she mentioned the Gabi that was Sabbat Koch Nefesh?
Yeah, even against Rav Poskin, yeah, we don't rely on Rav Poskin. That's in Hilchas Yom Kippur.
Who's this again?
Hilchas Yom
Kippur. She mentioned
what? Yeah, Rabbi Yochan, Bishoset mentioned. So that's why I refuse to give Askome someone who wrote Sefer on Dinner of Pekach Nefesh. And the other Askome. From Kashlim Zalman Urbach and everything. He wanted my Askom. I don't know why he needed Yehuda Vaidlikro. And I refused to give him Askom. Why? Because he had one thing. I don't think it's right. It's true according to the Psak of the Machaber, but it's not true according to the Shita of the Shach in Yeredeya Simen Kuf Numbov. He passed in there that if there is a Sakona Sefer, you're not allowed to do him a Lochet Reis. The Mechaber and Lochet Shabbos Paskins like that. But the Shach in Yerdea, Simen Kufnum Vov, Paskins Lehokim. And there are many Rishenim who say that Sakona Sefer has the Din of Pekach Nefesh. Even in Bimtzias, there is no Sakona Sefer. Most Rishenim probably hold that only Sakona Sivorim, because Shoyane Deine Belibeton. But another either, let's say if there is a sakone that a person will become deaf, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in Lochet Reis. But Rav Netam Shite, many Rishenim, the Mordechai in Shabbos mentions many Rishenim, who are chilik, is through the Mechaber and Lochet Shabbos passing on it. But the Shach in Yeredeya Simen Kufn and Vov, Nira lehok. So true. The Shchunoch paskins differently. That's probably the shita of most Rishenim. I don't know, but the Shach is chilek, and there are many Rishenim who hold Teisves in Suke, the Rav Amir in Avrizore, Rav Netam, the Mordechai mentions the name of Rav Netam, the Shach in Yeredeya Simen Kuf Nun Vov. He says that Sakona Sefer has the same din as Pekach Nefesh, and it's Deichem Lochet Reis, not like the Mechaber and Cheshabes, only Ishvus. So Mele, I said, I'm not going to give you Askome, as long as you have that din. So he had Askome of many daily, he doesn't need my Askome altogether. I was surprised that he asked for my Askome, but I refused. So I says, unless you mention in the Sefer that I said that you are allowed and it's a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos and Sakona Sefer. If it cannot be done al dinochri and cannot be done al bishinu, it's a mitzvah. Because we don't rely on Rav Poskim. And the Psak of Shchonoch means Rav Poskim. But in Pekach Nefesh, if there is a one shittes Rishenim Likule, so we have to be like this. Make it rice is lechumre, not if it's a question of pekach nefashes. If it's a question of pekach nefashes, so sofik nefashes lehokul, even against Rav in hilchem pekach nefashes. All right, so I discussed it already. In the middle. Kol domim shireyo teiri nashiyetzi ablat. Now there is a halacha of damteya. What is damteya? If a yishe is yeledes, a zocho, so she's tmeyos 7 days and then 33 days, even if she bleeds, so she's there. And then if she let us in the cave, or she's made of 14 days, and then for 66 days, it's in Eteah. The question is, suppose a woman gave birth to a twin, and in an unusual way, which happens very, very rarely, maybe once in several centuries, but it happened to Reb Chiya. He had twin sons, Yehuda v'Cheskiya, and there was a difference in almost 3 months. Usually, I mean, if it's a twin, so one child is born 5 minutes before the other, I mean, sometimes a few hours, but this is something that happens once in centuries. Now, how did it happen? So the reason is because there is possible for a fetus to develop in 7 months, and there is a possibility for a fetus to develop in 9 months. So usually, I mean, it has to do with the condition of the womb. So the same woman in the same birth, I mean, that one member of the twin should develop in 7 months, and one in 9 months, that's an unusual thing, but it happened. So that happened in the case of Yehuda v'Cheski ibn Rabchi. So Mele, this Mishneh, Rashi explains the Mitzias of the Mishneh in two ways. In two ways. So Mekashe Seich Shmeini, either that she was let's say Meitea, she became pregnant again, but and then she had a miscarriage. I mean, otherwise there wouldn't be any Indian of Kishu. Kishu means if it precedes birth or miscarriage. Now that's a machlekes, whether yesh kisholim folim or ain kisholim folim. We pass ain kisholim folim. So the whole aloche of dam kishu b'meizive istoye here only applies to dam kishu of a viable blood. But if it's dam kishu that accompanies a miscarriage, so then it's not toyer, even b'meizive it's not toyer. But there is a Tane, there is a Mandoma who says that Yesh Kishulim Folim. So this Mitzias of the Mishneh can be visualized according to the Tane that Yesh Kishulim Folim. So it can be visualized very simply. Let's say a woman, so she became pregnant in Yemei Teya, and she's Materas the Bio. So, and then in the Yemei Teah she had a miscarriage. Let's say especially if it was in the Yemei Teah of Yeledes Nekeva. So then 66 days. So she had a miscarriage. Let's say after 2 months, had a miscarriage. So Mele, there is a locher of Damteya. But according to the Mandoma, the Tenki shouldn't fall in. So this Mishneh cannot be visualized in the regular case. But it can be visualized in an irregular situation as something that happens very, very seldom, once in centuries. But it happened in the case of Yehuda v'Cheskiya. This is what Rashi says.
If
אחד נגמר צורסי באמצע שבי, ואחד נגמר צורסי לסייף שי, כמאי של יהודי וחזקיה, בני רבחיה. So then, so the question is, let's say, she gave birth to one son, and the other one to Yehuda. And Cheskiye, did not come out yet. Now, let's say, the end, she gave birth to Yehuda, so he's a Ben. So she's Tmeya 7 days, and then she was in labor for Cheskiah, and it was already Nimeitea. It was already after the 7 days, or it was to in Kave, not Yehuda, Ben, a bas. So then she gave birth to another child, bas or Ben. So the question is, Kodomim Shireyo Teirin Ashiyeitzi Avlat. So the Tanakame, the Rabbonin say that all the dam she sees in the Imeitea, so Istoir. So that's an example. Usually, Yemiteya is lachar avlat, and damkishu is kedem avlat. Damkishu means labor. When is labor? Labor precedes the birth, and teya follows birth. Here we have a situation of damkishu that is, of course, damkishu by definition has to precede avlat. But we have a situation of twins, so it precedes the second lot, let's say Cheskiah, but, so that's Damkishu, but it follows the first lot Yehudeh, so it's Damteya. That's the situation. I mean, it sounds paradoxical, but we have that situation. So the question is, now, what's the aloha by Damteya? Damteya, that is lachar avlat. That is lachar avlat completely. So then it's toya. B'meizive, b'meinidi also. What's the aloha damkishu? That normal is kedem avlat. So then it depends. If meinidi, it's domed. If meizive, it's toya. Here we have dam, that is both. It is kedem avlat. It is kedem the second vlat. Kedem the lady of Cheskiah, and is lachar avlat after the lady of Yehudah. So what's the aloch? The aloch of damteya is istoy always, even minit. The aloha of damkishu, that normally is kedem avlat, that it's toyer meizive, but it's toyer we may need it. So here, what's the aloha? Now, Misrashvah, there hadn't been any psuki. No psuki. Suppose there hadn't been. In Machlekes, Rabbonon, Rablezer, no psuki. What should one say in Misrashvah? We have aloha of damteya that is toyer even b'neinid. And damteya is by definition lachale. That's the definition of damteya. Lacha yimeitumer. So lachale then even after the yimeitumer, 7 days, 14 days, depending, zohar nekev. And what's the aloha of damkishu that's normally kedem avlat? B'meizive it's toya, b'meinide it's tomei. Here is both, it's damteya. From the perspective of the lady of Yehuda, is damteya, slach avla. And is damkishu from the perspective of Cheski, Kedem Ablat, Kinaba. Some is Rasvori, there hadn't been any Machlekes, there hadn't been any Psukim. One should say Miss Rasvori. True, it's Damtea also, so what do I care? That it's Dam Kishu. Kedem, it's Dam Kishu, Kedem Ablat of Cheski. But it's Damtea from the perspective of the lady of Yehudah. Somebody should be Toya. Even we need it. That's what you should say. Still, that's what you say, Mr. Aswal, if there hadn't been any psukim. But the Axos are also the Arfusis. So you have a machlekes between Tanekame and Rabbi Zahir. We pass to like Tanekame. So Tanekame says, Amikashe, Viser Shmeini, Shalmikevo, Kodomim Shireye Teir, Achi Yitzi Ablat, so Tanakame says that it's Toya. So what does it mean according to I'm a country, Tanakame says, the Rabbonim say it's Toya. Ligamre. Not only Bimei Zive, even Bimei Nide it's Toya. Even Bimei Nide it's Toya. Why? That's what one should say in Zrasvor. Without your forces. Because so what if it's Dam Kishu also? Because of the blood of Cheski. But is Dam Teya mitzah the blood of Yehude? Some mele. Dam Teya is Toya completely. Always. That's what the Telekam is. Rabbi Lezer mitame. Now, when Rabbi Lezer is mitame, there is a machlekes reshem between Rashi and Rabbi Menachem.